1. Then you have verses 122 to 162. This is the story of Prophet Ibrahim. Story of Prophet Ibrahim, that part of it, that portion of it, which is related to his connection or relationship with Kaaba, building of Kaaba, and how he built and how he prayed that Allah should raise a final prophet from among his children. And that is exactly what God did. He has sent this prophet, and it is addressed to the Jews as well as the Muslims, that this prophet has come. And now, in fact, if you are true seekers of truth, follow him and obey him. And also it is made clear that Abraham's true religion was Islam. It was neither Judaism nor Christianity. Because Judaism and Christianity, they were both born long after Ibrahim. And then you have the fact that, so therefore, a new community has been raised. Prophet Ibrahim's prayer has been accepted. And now the spiritual center of the community of Ibrahim is changed. And that center is the house of Allah that Ibrahim himself built, Kaaba. And in the interim period, when the Prophet went from Mecca to Medina, and he prayed to Jerusalem for 16 months, that was the entering arrangement. Now the time has come that this community should face its real Qibla. Now when you say this real Qibla, at that time, this Kaaba or Qibla was in the hands of Mushrikeen, Kufar. So hence, a context is produced, a situation has arisen where the Muslims are, in fact, quite clearly they realize that if they have to get back their Qibla, they will have to fight these Mushrikeen, oust them from there, purify the house of Allah, and take it back and make it and dedicate it to the sincere worship of God alone, in fact. And then, in fact, we have verses 163 to 242. This is the chapter of commandments and rules and regulations, which, in fact, the basic principles or basic laws of the Islamic Sharia that this new community is given. And there, in fact, you have, in fact, Tawheed, the commandment of Tawheed, verse 163 to 176, prayer, zakat, 177, and similarly you have retaliation, blood money, about in the murder cases, 178 to 179, and legacy, and in fact, making will, 180 to 182, fasting, 183 to 187, and then the prohibition of this is called bribery. This is 188, and then Hajj, and because of and along with Hajj, Jihad, and with Jihad you need to spend. It needs money. So Anfaq and Jihad and Hajj, they are all collected together. They follow from each other, in fact. And so there is 189 to 218. And then prohibition of drinking and gambling. And to look after the welfare and well-being of the orphans. Prohibition of marrying the idolaters. And that is 219 to 221. And then the problems of rules about marriage, divorce, ila, and khula, and then in fact foster, taking some fosterage, and then the provision of food and accommodation for the wife when she is divorced, and dowry and other marital problems. And then you have the 243 to 283 verses. This is the, in fact, the exhortation. Muslims are exhorted, they are encouraged to fight, to wage jihad, to liberate the Qibla of community of Ibrahim, their community, their Qibla, their spiritual center. And for that, the appeal to spend. So that also makes it clear what is in fact related, how is that spending related to this fighting and jihad and hajj. And similarly, then we have, it refers to, cites the case of Israelis, Bani Israel, children of Israel, and the fight and the war, and the battle that they fought to gain back their Qibla. That was Ark, A-R-K. That was their Qibla. It was taken away from them by Philistines. So they fought again under the guidance, under the Talut. So similarly, we have, there is a close resemblance between Ghazwa Badr and the battle that Talut fought to gain their Qibla. Then there are examples, in fact, how Allah guides and brings into light people from out of darkness, and who are the people who are left to grope and wander in darkness. And then, in fact, stresses the blessings of spending in the cause of Allah. Spending in the cause of Allah, its conditions and acceptance, and how, who are the people who deserve, in fact. And then when you talk about spending in the cause of Allah, clearly there is an opposite to it. You can't ignore that. Of the spending in the cause of Allah means generosity. But then, in fact, the other opposite mentality is when the person is so miser. He's not only he's not ready to give, he wants to grab whatever belongs to others. That is called usury. Taking usury, in fact, from people and robbing them of their properties and of their wealth. So the prohibition of usury is there, sood, in fact, interest. And then, in fact, there is, in fact, transactions on loan and in debt, in fact, and how, in fact, they should be conducted from the Islamic point of view, that is. And then verses 284 to 286, that is the conclusion of the surah. And to begin with, this in fact declares that everything that is there belongs to Allah and Allah alone. Whatever is in the heavens and earth, He knows whatever is open and whatever is hidden, and He will call all people to account for whatever they did. And this book that has been revealed by the commandment of Allah, well, anybody, if the others do not accept it, it's up to them. But as far as the Messenger of Allah is concerned, and the believers are concerned, they have already accepted it as the book of Allah, and they are ready to fulfill their obligations to it, in fact. And then the people, in fact, the Muslims, Muslim community, their prayer comes up, and then رَبَّنَا لَا تَحْمَلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَ وَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. O Allah, do not put on us burden that you put on those people who were before us. So each word of that prayer, in fact, clearly shows how, in fact, great their feeling is of this cumbersome, great responsibility that is being put on them, and they ask Allah to help for help and for Himself. And this, in fact, they also realize that this responsibility was given to other people, Jews and Christians before this, and they could not bear it. They, in fact, failed in it, and now they are praying, and so they realize this great serious responsibility. So how this is how it, in fact, ends. So this is overall, in fact, view of the surah, and what, in fact, so that it, in fact, makes it easy when we are going through it. So with that, I think now we are in a position to start, in fact, what is where, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim. This is Alif Lam Mim. This is Alif Lam Mim. This Alif Lam Mim, and there are other haruf muqatta'at. These are called haruf muqatta'at, which are used in the beginning of certain surahs in the Quran. And they are called haruf muqatta'at because they are pronounced separately. Alif Lam Mim. Otherwise, if you find Alif Lam Mim written, you can read it as Alam. Pain. But Quran, in fact, because we do not pronounce them collectively, we pronounce them separately, disjointedly. So there are the words, the letters that are pronounced separately, each letter separately. Similarly, you have other, in fact, examples, like you have 是哆呀辛，then generally you had哆辛咪，so many in the beginning of it, noon, cough. So all these are called harufi mukatta. Now the discussion or the questions about this, that these are the significant, nobody knows what is the meaning of this. The answer to this is because Allah has not explained this in His Quran, and the Prophet has not clearly, specifically told us about their meaning. So whatever we have are the opinions of scholars. Because they, although Quran and the Prophet did not explain it, but since they are a part of the Quran, the Book of Allah, the assumption is there must be some wisdom. There is nothing superfluous, unnecessary in the Book of Allah. So because of that, the people have tried to explain these letters. And there are so many, in fact, opinions about it. One is, in fact, Alif Lam Mim, for example, it clearly tells you and gives you a suggestion that this book, that this wonderful, miraculous book, beautiful book that you are reading, which is a miracle, is composed of the same letters, same alphabet that you use, Alif Lam Mim, Beis, Ta, Jam, Sifat. But still it is unique. Although it is composed of the same, in fact, letters, the same ingredients, is completely unique, unmatched, unrivaled in its beauty, in its essence, in its comprehension. This is one obvious. Another is, in fact, that if you don't know the meaning, for example, Alif Lam Mim itself, that clearly gives you a message that we don't know the meaning of it, when you say, you confess, you acknowledge your ignorance. We acknowledge that we cannot comprehend all knowledge. And that in itself is a miracle. Because we find scholars spending their whole lives, you must have heard about Newton, he is reported to have said that my example, in fact, about with relation to science and human knowledge is like a child, having spent all his life, that I feel like a child collecting some beautiful stones on the seashore, whereas the whole knowledge of ocean of knowledge is stretched before him. Our, in fact, inability to comprehend. So this marvel of this book is that great secret that the people come to know after spending their entire lives, it tells you, in fact, right in the beginning, do not presume, nobody, yes. But then we have, in fact, our own other people, as well as our own teacher, we have, in fact, you must have read about him, Maulana Hamiduddin Farahi. He has a view, he was a great research scholar, and he, in fact, he was also a scholar of Hebrew, that these letters that we have, they are the remnants of the old, in fact, hieroglyphics. Hieroglyphics which were used, in fact, in olden time. Hieroglyphics is, in fact, which is a language where you represent, when you put letters or write something, we don't, in fact, produce sounds, but also you give pictures, a picture language, pictorial language, like Chinese language. So similarly, he said, this is the, in fact, and we have the amended form of it is in the Egyptian, in fact, we have got the, in the tombs, we have got the hieroglyphics. They are the remnants from there. And he gives example, in fact, that Alif, for example. Alif, in fact, was, in fact, used for cow. And especially here, when Alif is written as, in fact, the head of a cow. So Alif means cow, but Alif also means Allah, the only one. And he gives example that wherever this Alif Lam is used in the surahs, you find that the most prominent, in fact, subject is in fact Tawheed also. In this surah, there is cow is mentioned there. Similarly, he says Jim, for example, in Hebrew is called Gemel or Jemel, in fact. So Jim also, in fact, written in the form, that form. And similarly, we have Beth, which is in fact means in fact house, and then we have Taha. Taha, which is a Taha in Surah Taha, which is in fact in the which means a snake. It symbolizes snake, and it is written in the form of a snake as if it is sitting and with his head raised up. And where that Surah Taha occurs, there is mention of snake, a prophet Musa alayhi salam. There is the one. And then you have Mim, Alif Lam Mim. Mim, in fact, as I said, this is in fact, the waves of water. And Arabic Mim is written also in the waving form. And there is, in fact, springs and ocean is mentioned here. And most important, he gives the example of Noon. Noon wal Qalam. Noon is a Surah Noon, which is in fact means in fact Noon, if you read it in fact with full Noon, Noon, Waw, Noon, it means fish. Sahib is the Noon, that companion of the fish. And in Surah Noon, where this Noon occurs, in the text also it is mentioned, وَلَا تَكُنْ كَسَائِبِ الْهُوتِ. Do not be like the companion of the fish, Prophet Jonah, who went away before completing his mission, and because of that, God in fact took him to account. So this Alif Lam Mim, this is one of the Huruf Muqattaat, and there are so many others. And as far as, well, some people can say that Quran says that this is Kitabun Mubin, this is a very clear book. So how can this be a clear book when there are certain letters which are not clear, which are not known to anybody, the meaning of it?
Sorry,
this question or objection about the plainness of the Quran is concerned, that is not affected by this. Because if this was something unusual, if Arab was not familiar with it, then there would have been a question. But we find the Arabs, the audience of the Quran, the first audience, they raised so many objections. And Quran has recorded all their objections in it. But there is no mention that they ever said, how can you say that this is a plain book where you are using certain letters which are not clear to us? Which means that this was a usual practice among them, among orators, among speakers. Before you started your speech or your address, they use certain letters to address the attention of the people. So this was a common, you can say, a method or manner of speaking among them.